Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't know.
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to what is sure to be a fun-filled episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. David here with the other two mother boxes to the trifecta of mother boxes that I think are important, but we don't really know if they're important. Justin and Randy, how are you doing, Justin?
I am fabulous. Thank you for asking, David.
How are you, Randy?
I am so good you can't keep this mother in a box.
No, you didn't. As in, no, you didn't see the movie we're talking about.
I have no idea what you're talking about now. I am clueless. As usual.
I wish the mother boxes had cranks on the side, and it was more like a jack-in-a-box, only we didn't know what was going to pop out.
That would have made them infinitely more interesting than what we got. So here's how we're going to do it. Randy did not see Justice League because he was busy, which is fine. We're all busy people. He saw two other great films. He saw Thor Ragnarok and Blade Runner 2049, both of which are better than Justice League.
Were you the only one in the theater for Blade Runner?
There was one other couple in the theater.
I love it. Isn't that cool when you just have the whole place to yourself almost?
It was fantastic. My whole goal was to see it before it left theaters because I knew it was a big screen experience. And for our listeners, I'll have it be known that this was the previous weekend before Justice League was out. So I wasn't intentionally at the movies for like 5 hours watching anything other than Justice League. I saw those. Yeah, to protest it. I just happened to go a week early.
You know what I
I stand with Deckard.
Whenever I'm one of the only few people in the theater, I always talk to the people when the movie's over. Because I know that they like purposely went like weeks later just to kind of avoid crowds. And then I get up all in their business and just sort of interview them about the movie.
Why would you do that?
No, I'm just a jackass.
We just want silence.
People in the movies.
Oh, it's great.
Well, no, not during the movie. He's doing it afterwards.
Yeah, afterwards.
Yeah.
Like, the lights come on, and they get up, then I get up right with them, and I'm like, hey, so what'd you think? Did you like it? It's pretty good, right?
Oh, you know what's the fucking worst? Okay, so in this day and age, I would say probably at least half movie theaters that are out there do assigned seating, right? So what really grinds my gears is I'm at a not very crowded screening at all, like one of those things where it could be one group of people per row, you know, it not very much. We're talking like Sunday afternoon matinee, nobody's there, the movie's been out for like 3 weeks, that kind of thing. Not very crowded. So
Forza Motorsport 7 was built.
Hold. Oh, sorry. I clicked on a web page and it was a screaming ad. I didn't mean to do that. It just freaked me out. I was like, what's happening? I just heard noise and it scared me. I apologize.
Loud noises. Well, it's probably better than the story I was going to tell.
No, go for it. I'm sorry. It was stupid.
It's fine. But I was just going to say, what really upsets me, other than screaming ads that go crazy when I click on them, it's like if you're in a nearly empty theater and you have the ability to pick your seats, why in the holy hell would you pick the seats exactly to? I mean, when you're looking at the little grid, picking which seats you want, why would you go right next to two other occupied seats? Why would you not have that buffer seat there? You know, why are you even going to be in the same row as me if it's only like the fucking two of us in the goddamn theater?
Did you stay in your seats or did you move over?
No, we stayed in the seats, but and this isn't just a one-time thing.
This is
every fucking time. Well, because what if somebody else, you know, like they walk in later or something like that, and then they have the seats on the direct opposite side of us, and then all of a sudden we're occupying one of those seats, and then you got to have that awkward discussion, and then scoot back into where you were, and by that time the other asshole's already settled in and spread out, and your armrest is gone to fuck. God damn, it pisses me off. If you have the ability, and you know what, folks, I'm gonna treat this as a little public service announcement to y'all. A little movie theater etiquette. If you have the ability to choose the seats that you're going to sit in, and you know it's not going to be an incredibly busy screening, like opening weekend for a tentpole blockbuster where every seat is filled, if you know that like maybe half the theater is going to be filled, leave that buffer seat, especially if you're like... If only one other fucking group of people has selected seats and has already purchased them, if they're the only gray ones in a field of orange for what's available or whatever the fucking colors they are, do everybody a favor and leave that buffer seat. Nobody wants to be shoulder to shoulder with some asshole while literally every other fucking seat in the theater is empty. Nobody needs that.
Yeah, that's why, luckily, almost all the theaters around me have converted to the nice recliner chairs. And so those, I mean, you could sit next to me and it's not a problem. There's so much room. But I feel your pain, Randy. I feel your pain. Is it because you pick the best seats in the house and they want to have the second best seats in the house?
Literally, yes. It's because I'm always like dead center, like these are the sweet spot. And I know it's so tempting to try to hit that sweet spot. And I don't care if you sit directly in front of me, directly behind me. Doesn't matter. Fucking right next to me, shoulder to shoulder. You want to reach into my pocket? You want to jerk me off? Is that what you want to do?
Ooh.
My goodness.
Sorry. Rant over.
It's all right. But you liked both the movies you saw.
I did. This is why I shouldn't drink whiskey before I podcast with you guys.
You drink a whiskey drink? You drink a Number one was soundtrack to my life.
Carly Fries. Carly's Man, California. Love that movie.
That's a great movie.
Prohibitive Domino.
All right. I guess we put off pulling this Band-Aid off for long enough. I think that Justin and I have different views on the film. It is directed by Mr. Snyder, so if you know me, you know that what side I'm probably on. But Justin, why don't you go first? What were your thoughts of Justice League?
Well, since you have a character in World of Warcraft named after Zack Snyder,
I have two actually.
Oh my goodness!
I have a Horde and an Alliance.
I would say you're the bigger fan. Yes, Justice League, the motion picture show. We have been waiting for this movie for ages and ages and ages. And, finally came out. And I didn't hate it. I'm not gonna lie. I sat in my little chair and I'm gonna say I enjoyed myself. It wasn't perfect, but I had a good time. Is that it? Or do you want me to go over what I really liked? I have a tendency to ramble, so I'm just, that's my brief out of a canon. Well, that's what I feel about the movie.
I guess I can give my brief canned reaction. If I agree with Justin that it was fine. I mean, it wasn't, I mean, it was just, it wasn't a glaring, it wasn't Suicide Squad or Batman v Superman bad, but it was overly edited. Like there was like zero room to breathe in this film. And it was, you could tell that when they were trying to get down to that 2 hour mark, that it was just like, let's just cut out like half a second off every scene. And like, so every scene just like really ends in like an abrupt manner. And I was able to follow the story from A to B to C. They're retconning a lot of stuff from Batman v Superman, you know, especially with Superman. All of a sudden, he's this, like, messiah that everybody loved. But
right.
The last two movies, they pretty much treat him like a piece of shit. But now it's like, oh, no, Superman's gone. And I'm sure we'll talk about Steppenwolf, the villain, later. But I don't hate it. It's fine. I saw it twice.
Oh, and my goodness.
So the first time I watched it, you know, some movies that you kind of know too much about, you know, I caught myself trying to figure out when Superman had a mustache, you know, when it was digitally taken off, or, you know, I had all these things that I wanted to be in the movie, to where the second time I saw it, I knew these things I wanted to be in the movie weren't in the film. And so it allowed my brain to just enjoy what I was getting instead of, you know, halfway through the movie getting kind of upset that like I wasn't getting this other stuff. And so it did do better on a second viewing, but it's still, you know, a run-of-the-mill, okay movie in my book. But what was something you really liked about it, Justin?
Excuse me. I really like Superman. I was so pumped when he arrived, and I just thought he was a total badass. I thought Cavill just brought his A-game, and it really felt like he was happy to be there. And we haven't really gotten that from any of the DC movies, aside from Wonder Woman. You know, you made up an interesting point not too long ago about none of these movies are really like happy, or you don't, none of them feel good about being superheroes. And for me, I thought Superman just totally crushed it and just knocked it out of the park. And every moment, which wasn't very many, that he was on screen, my face just lit up like a little kid. And I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah, I'll give you Superman was great. And you could tell that all of his scenes, with the exception of the monument scene when Superman was like evil Superman, all of that stuff in that Russian scene, that was all Whedon stuff, because you could tell that's when the mustache was removed. And so I guess we can give Whedon credit for making Superman cool again. He obviously won't get credit because Whedon, or not, Zack Snyder was the director of record. I thought Superman added a lot, and there was a lot of levity, like when him and the Flash go to save everybody, and Flash saves the one truckload of people, and he turns to his side and runs flying, holding the apartment building.
Yeah, the whole building? That was pretty rad. That's another thing. Flash, I thought Ezra Miller did an amazing job as Flash. I liked all of his moments, even his scenes with his dad, who was, what's his name? Billy Crudup, right? That's who that was? Blue Man Group from Watchmen. I loved all the scenes that he had with his dad. I thought he really captured the character of Barry Allen. So I was really impressed with Ezra Miller's portrayal of Flash.
Yeah, of the three new people, Ezra Miller, Jason Momoa as Aquaman, and Ray Fisher as Cyborg, I definitely think Ezra Miller was the one I'm most interested in continuing to watch. I liked his attitude. I was a little disappointed in some of the, you know, we've been kind of spoiled with the X-Men movies with those really awesome, like, Quicksilver things. I mean, both the scenes in Days of Future Past and Apocalypse are, like, steal the movie. And I was hoping for them not to just completely rip off what they do in the Fox movies, but, you know, do something cool like that just to show us why it's that cool to have superpowers, that superpower. But, you know, we got the one thing where he pushes the sword back to Wonder Woman. But other than that, you know, we really didn't see what made him cool. But Ezra Miller's great, and I'm sure that he was the one that we got the most kind of glimpses into the backstory. All of the new characters are all going to get their own movies, and so a lot of the stuff that is important about them that makes them who they are, we don't know yet because we haven't had the standalone movie because they're not going the Marvel route.
Right.
And I think that, especially with Aquaman and Cyborg, I think that both of those could have really used more exposition than we got.
Which is why we got a 2-hour movie. I mean, there were scenes in the trailers that show Victor Stone / Cyborg as you know, a teenager, or at least in college. I don't know what his jam is, but he's playing football, and you get to see him as like this promising athlete who gets in a horrible accident, and only his face remains, and it's bad. And we didn't get any of that, so it's hard to necessarily like sympathize or empathize with the character of Victor Stone because we don't know jack about him.
Right, and I think that that's one of the shortcomings of the short running time is that and also with Momoa's Aquaman is that there are clearly many layers going on in both their personal lives and the people that are around them. You know, Victor Stone's dad saved him, but Victor Stone resents him for it. You know, it's a very Frankenstein's monster type scenario. And while we got tiny little glimpses of it, it would have been nice to have seen a little more of, you know, that couldn't have been an easy decision for his dad to do to him what he did. And I don't think it would have taken that much time. And then it would have set Cyborg up as someone we could have rooted for more instead of just being this, like, for the movie, he was just the archetype of the sullen, like, reluctant hero who doesn't want to be there. To where Aquaman was like the overly bravado dude bro of the sea who was just, you know, so full of himself, you know. And
in a way, I mean, he was also happy to be helping all those like starving fish communities, like in the
Iceland or whatever,
the icy regions of the world. You know, I think he was content being sort of just a local legend, which is kind of weird too, because there's a moment when he's saying, he's speaking his truth, as it were, and he says, "I'm too young to die," and it seems kind of weird because I don't really know how old Aquaman is. When he's in Atlantis for all of 5 seconds, there's a story being told that, you know, whatever, 1,000 years ago, you know, your mom saved you, and it's like, okay, so is 1,000 years is he still like a tadpole in the Aquaman universe? Like, how does that work? I don't understand the age. I mean, we might get all that in an Aquaman movie. I don't know, but it might even just been sort of just an expression.
Yeah, we also, I think, lost out with the ambiguity of Aquaman and Cyborg's powers. Like, we know the Flash can run fast, and that's what he did in the movie. He ran fast. Everybody knows the Flash's powers, to where, you know, Aquaman's a little harder to peg down. You know, he's almost as strong as Superman. He's got superhuman strength. He's as strong probably as Wonder Woman, you know, but then, like, he's flying through the air, but, like, can he fly? You know, he can't, but, you know, there's just all these little things. And same thing with Cyborg, like, all of a sudden they were telling us, like, he couldn't control his body, you know, and,
right.
You know, that's kind of an interesting concept that it would have been great for them to explore with, but they used it as a plot device to piss off Superman because he shot at Superman.
Right. He's still learning his powers. He's in the infant stages of his superhero era, I guess you could say, and, you know, he's able to hack into things, and really...
Your favorite.
There's really, I know, God, I hate it. He's hacking into mother boxes, technology that no one understands. Even the people that made it have no idea what a mother box is, which is kind of funny, but whatever. That's a whole nother story. And I don't know. It's weird because we really don't know how much of Victor Stone is inside that character. It's mostly just, he's more machine now than man kind of thing.
Right.
And I don't know. But
that's a great story, though. Like you know, it's his reliance on technology. You know, him losing his humanity. You know, and it would have been a great for someone that they kind of paired him with Wonder Woman, to where Wonder Woman could have shown him that, you know, it's his humanity that makes him a hero, not all of these gadgets. And it could have been this great. He's overcoming, you know, this quote unquote handicap, but. We didn't get any of that.
Right.
We just got a guy who was pissed off because his dad saved his life.
Yeah. Well, that's angst. but I do like... Wonder Woman was great, too. Gal Gadot, again, was just a total rock star in this movie and just beat the shit out of so many people. She's very good with blocking bullets. That's kind of... That's her jam. She's the bullet blocker.
Yes, she is. Yeah, no, I mean, Wonder Woman's great. You know, Gal Gadot is... You know, she is Wonder Woman, and I don't have any complaints. Same thing with Ben Affleck as Batman. I thought he did a great job as well. You know, just Affleck has, like, a presence. Like, there was a lot of time when Affleck was just not wearing the cowl. Like, right. They just finished the mission, and he was just, like, doing stuff. But he was still in, like, full Batman gear just without the cowl. And I really bought into it, and, like, it felt important that Batman was there, and like, but he was hanging out with people that he didn't have to disguise who he was around. And I liked at the end when he's talking about putting the table there for 6 people, but with room for more, you know, talking about forming the Justice League kind of thing.
Which we should talk about, because it was like 2 years ago when Zack Snyder tweeted a photo that had Aquaman on it, and it said Unite the Seven. And... Mm-hmm. We barely got 6 in this one.
Right.
So, hopefully, you know, like, if we want to break down some cameos really quick, Green Lantern was in the film for all of 5 seconds in sort of a flashback where the Atlanteans and the Amazons and the other sort of races with superpowers came together to fight Steppenwolf, and that's when you got to see Green Lantern, and you see his ring go off to find somebody else, which is kind of cool, even though that was, you know, millennia ago, we'll say. That was still pretty neat to see Green Lantern in the movie.
Yeah, I was like, oh shit, the Green Lanterns! I mean, it makes sense that they would be part of this, but yeah, it was definitely cool to see, just because going in, we had no idea that we're going to be... There was like 2, I think, Green Lantern Corps people in it, and we're like, oh, sweet.
Yeah, it's pretty rad.
Yeah, it was definitely a fun little cameo.
But I have a list of cameos on note. I include Jim Gordon as one of those, because he basically has a scene in his office for 5 seconds, and then, you know, he turns on the bat signal, and that's pretty much it. And then Green Lantern Deathstroke makes an appearance, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
That was neat. Of course, he is also paired with that stupid Lex Luthor, which I could have done without, but so say we all. Then there was a fun one that neither of us caught, which was Mark McClure, who played Jimmy Olsen in the Christopher Reeve Superman. And he was the police officer that was sort of at the monument when Superman was resurrected and kind of watching the fight break out. I thought that was a fun little nod. And then Mira from the Aquaman universe. Yay on that. And you had a problem with that, too, because they're not talking like fish underwater with the blah, 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 blah voices. They actually separate themselves from the water and go inside a bubble and chat, which sort of takes the magic away of being a fish person.
Right, yeah. I'm worried how James Wan is going to pull off Aquaman and Atlantis, because we didn't get an establishing shot of Atlantis in this movie. We got one of Themyscira when they went to the Amazons. You know, it's filmmaking 101. When you go to a new exotic location, you give us a master shot or establishing shot so we kind of get an idea of where we are. They just cut to underwater. And, you know, we got a tiny bit in Batman v Superman, which is clearly just Jason Momoa holding his breath underwater. Mm-hmm. You know, there was nothing special about it. And in this movie, yeah, like you said, they weren't swimming. They actually went onto a piece of ground. They went in onto the ground. Mira created a sphere of non-water, and they just walked around and talked. And I'm like, is this what Aquaman's going to be like? They weren't swimming when they were talking. It was just very terrestrial based in right. their interactions, and it right. just was like, hey, what's going on here, guys?
It's all good.
And then it was a little surprising to learn that Arthur Curry had spent zero time in Atlantis, and he had no idea what was going on.
Right, but he knew the way.
Yeah,
there should have been like a sign. Seeing him,
you would think that.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, you'd think that where they were hiding the mother box would have been like a secret location known to very few people, and definitely not to someone who's never been there.
Right. He's like, oh, I know exactly where to go.
Yeah. And what was the point of guarding him when Steppenwolf could just take a boom tube right down to it?
Yeah, that's kind of weird. And we should probably talk about that. So, without getting too much into it, I remember a couple of weeks ago we were talking about just the trailers and if we're excited, and I was complaining that I don't even know where they're at. It's sort of like this pink and red world that doesn't make any sense. But that was basically the Earth sort of being reshaped and destroyed, and that's why it looked the way that it did. And the parademons, they feed off of fear. And now that Superman is gone, the world's sort of, I don't know, we'll say afraid, but it's weird because no one even knew that Superman was around before that, so it's kind of a bit of a plot hole in a sense. But so be it. There was a Superman. Everyone's sad that he's gone. Now they're afraid, and then there's these parademons. And I don't know. That side of the story doesn't really work for me. I just kind of just buy into it at some point. I'm like, all right, whatever. This is what I'm faced with. This is the villain that they chose. I'm not terribly impressed with this guy, but Superman beat the shit out of him, and it was cool to see. And that's another reason why Superman's barely in the movie, because once he's there, then he just unleashes the fury, and you really have no need for these other characters.
Yeah, he completely negated the need for anybody else on the team.
Yeah.
And it was very apparent. I get it. It's the same struggle that Abrams had with putting Luke in The Force Awakens. He would just solve every problem, so he just didn't put him in the movie, which, you know, I can't say I agree with, but that's neither here nor there. And I just didn't like how they didn't really defeat Steppenwolf. Like, all of a sudden, Steppenwolf got scared, and it attracted, like, the parademons. The parademons, like, tore him apart. Mm-hmm. It was like, what? I'm sorry, what? Como se who?
Yeah, it reminded me of the end of Ghost. When,
yeah,
when the shadows pull the bad guy away.
Yeah, but I mean, we never got the motivation of Steppenwolf. You know, we never understood that, like, he was like the herald of Darkseid and stuff like that. He just wanted to, like, destroy the world, but we don't know why. He just wanted to.
Some people just want to see the world burn.
I guess, but you know, he kind of looked stupid and he acted stupid.
The guy from Jaws 4 said that.
Yes, the guy from Jaws 4 did say that. Any movie from Michael Caine you could have picked. Went Jaws 4. I appreciate it. Was he Hobie? Hoggie? Hobie? Doesn't matter.
I don't remember.
Starts with an H.
He was the pilot.
He was trying to bang Brody's mom. Brody's wife.
That's true. He was. She deserves happiness after all these years of being terrorized.
She does by a shark. You know what you do? You just don't go in the ocean. It's really easy.
You move to like Kansas or some shit. And she's not even really an islander. They make that point in like the first Jaws. She's like, no, you guys moved here. You'll never be an islander.
Yeah. It's like, why are you going? Just don't go to the ocean.
Yeah.
It's problem solved. You have a high tendency. Your family has a high tendency to attract great white sharks.
Yeah.
But regardless, I think that Steppenwolf is a terrible villain. I think he's on par with one of the worst comic book villains we've ever had. Definitely worse than most of the Marvel villains. We know nothing about him. His motivations are muddled at best. He is just weak in all categories of villain. And I think the problem is, I think that originally in Zack Snyder's vision, Superman was the villain. That Steppenwolf was trying to get his mother boxes, and that the League had to, was distracted trying to take down Superman while Steppenwolf was, collecting all of these mother boxes. And then all of a sudden, when Whedon came on and they had to do the changes and they had to cut the time and stuff like that, out went the whole story of Superman being the villain. They just plugged some holes with extra Steppenwolf scenes. I will give the movie credit. It does not feel disjointed as if two filmmakers were directing it. You know, it is a cohesive film. I believe that's probably because the studio directed it and that Whedon and Snyder were just moving pieces around. So it's good in that respect that you can't look at a scene and say, oh, Whedon did that or Snyder did that. The only time you can do it is with Superman because you can notice it's got kind of like what's the Zoidberg mouth going on.
So you give it an A-? Is that what you're telling me?
I really did like the post-credit scene where Deathstroke and Lex Luthor, when they came and they're talking about forming their own club. I would really like to see Justice League 2 where it's the Legion of Doom versus the Super Friends. I'm fine if they don't continue this. I love Darkseid. He's one of my favorite characters from the animated series when Michael Dorn did his voice. But if they need to right the rails and have a lower budget and they do the Legion of Doom versus Super Friends, I will be fine with that. And it would be perfect because we're going to have, Weathermaster is going to be in the villain, the Aquaman movie. I'm assuming that since they put Deathstroke in the post-credit scene, he will be the villain in the Batman. So we'll get those two at least seen in a feature film before Justice League 2 comes out. So at least then we would have three, maybe four villains you could throw in there that are established villains that, that's the one thing Marvel hasn't done. They haven't, coalesced their villains into a team. And that, I think that could be fun for a movie. Or am I just stupid? Such an idiot, David.
God.
Well, what grade would you give it, Justin?
I'd give it a C+, which is a passable grade. I enjoyed it. I'll probably get it when it comes out on the home video markets.
Yeah. I would probably give it a C-.
Ah, see? We're close.
I would not. Yeah, there were enough enjoyable parts in the film to entertain me that, I would give it a little bit better grade. There was no Martha moment. The closest to a Martha moment you could get would be the stupid parademons attracted to Steppenwolf's spear. But otherwise.
Oh, yeah. Martha. I was like, what are you talking about? Why'd you say that name? Forgot all about that. Oh, that's funny. Oh, that's good stuff.
Randy hasn't even seen Batman v Superman yet.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know the Martha thing, though, Randy?
I do, yeah. Oh. I got some catching up to do.
Ben Affleck's kind of all over the news right now about leaving the role. You know, this is something that we've been talking about for months and months and months and months. And now that the movie's pretty much going to come and go, the talks have resurfaced again. And I'm seeing reports about Jake Gyllenhaal. And while I think he's a terrific actor, I don't want to see him as Batman.
Yeah, I mean, I can get behind. I mean, he's a fine actor, so I mean, I'm sure he would do a great job. I just don't want a controversial choice. I'm tired of having to defend Batman castings, you know, whether it be fucking Heath Ledger or Ben Affleck. I just want them to pick someone to be like, oh yeah, I could see that.
Uh-huh.
Like, just pick someone good. Pick Harry Dean Morgan. Pick Negan. I'd be like, yeah, I could get behind that.
You want one of the Winklevoss twins?
Yeah, give me Armie Hammer. Let him be the Batman. He was going to be in freaking George Miller's Justice League.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was going to be Batman in that one.
Oh, my God. I was joking. What's that other asshole that's... well, he's not really an asshole, but... the guy that's in, like, the Mars movie...
The Martian?
Is no, like Sebastian Stan? No. The guy that jumps a lot and he jumps far is in that movie that was...
John Carter?
John Carter!
Oh, yeah. You talking about Taylor Kitsch?
Yeah. He was... Was he Gambit? Was he Gambit in the Wolverine movie?
He was Gambit in the Wolverine movie.
Oh, my God. Yeah, no. I'm with you. I don't want to have a controversial Batman casting choice. I just want it to be over and done with already.
Are you ready? I mean, do you want Flashpoint to reset some shit, or are you of the mind that, you know, we have a couple things going right? You know, Wonder Woman is going right. You know, we're done with the Zack Snyder era. You know, if James Wan can deliver a fun Aquaman, would you prefer them just to bite the bullet and say Phase One sucked? We really let you guys down in Phase One. Here's Phase Two. We're gonna make it up to you. Or are you of the mind that let's just fucking reset this shit, and by doing that they can pick their wins? Like, obviously Gal Gadot will stick around as Wonder Woman, you know, they don't have to change monkey with that, but it'll give them an excuse to recast Batman, an excuse to restart Green Lantern and these other franchises they want to get off the ground.
Yeah,
do you want them to reboot it?
So I would be totally cool with a Flashpoint universe. In fact, so one of the post-credit scenes is Flash and Superman having a race, and at least that was one of them, right? Wasn't that the first one, or was that
that was
movie
the first
ended?
One?
Okay, yeah, and I was really hoping we were gonna see the
Speed Force.
Speed Force. I was really hoping we would start to see like flashes of light around him, and that happened. I thought that would have been really cool if he would have just transported into another dimension. That would have been so fucking rad, and that kicked off the Flashpoint universe. I'm ready for that. I'm totally cool if they just redo everything, but keep the same talent. I like everybody involved. Yeah, I mean, and that's true too, minus Affleck or whatever. But all these characters have an appearance in Flashpoint, so it's totally cool if they just rewrite everything.
Yeah, I mean, I want Affleck to stay.
Yeah,
you know, I think his Batman is pretty great. Like, we're talking, I love when he's just walking around. And I like that he's, everyone around him is very cognizant that he does not have superpowers.
Right.
But he still can hang and stuff like that. And, you know, I liked when Superman's like, do you bleed? You know, calling back to Batman v Superman. And then when he's sitting on the grass, he's like, oh, I'm definitely bleeding from somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, he was good. It was good. I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's just the only reason why it didn't get a better grade was because of the villain. That pretty much ruined it for me.
And a pretty basic story. Well, what do you think, you know, I don't want to use the word bomb. A lot of people are using the word that it bombed. You know, it underperformed. You know, sure. $97 million is not, I mean, it is technically, I'm going to use underperform. It sounds better. Mm-hmm. Do you think, and Randy, you can chime in on this one too, since it's not about the film. Maybe I'll go to you first. Randy, do you think all of this just negative stuff around it caused it to underperform? Or do you think that the average moviegoer has no idea what's going on and that we just since we live it every week, you know, we know it, and it was just poor word of mouth and poor critical responses that scared people away?
I think, and this is going to sound like a cop-out answer, but I think it's a combination of the two. Most audiences really aren't going to know one way or the other, but those of us who do talk about movies and who do, you know, kind of live in the geek sphere and are consumers of all things superhero, people have kind of been shitting on this from the beginning. And then even whether you follow the movie news very closely or not, when you do hear about the fact that it's going through another director and there's massive amounts of reshoots and all this kind of stuff, you know, we've talked about this with Star Wars before. It sends up red flags. Whether you know anything about making movies or not, you know, the more chefs in the kitchen doesn't necessarily make a better tasting product. So, I don't know. I think it's a combination of factors that kind of kept people away. And I don't know. They experienced some great success after Wonder Woman, but I think that goodwill that they garnered there has been squandered here, and I don't know how to react to what's next.
Yeah, from a business perspective, Justin, where do you? I mean, it did well in China. It's doing well overseas.
Overseas, it's killing it. Yeah,
I mean, it's doing well. It won't hit. It won't reach a billion. It would be almost impossible for them to. You should never say never, I guess. You know, the first Avengers made $103 million on its second weekend of release. So it made more on its second week than Justice League did on its first week. Do you think that we're now seeing the poor execution of the expanded universe? And that's why, I mean, everyone wanted a Justice League movie for their whole life. So we finally got it and, you know, it didn't really perform that well. Do you think that this is just the Warner Brothers mismanaged the property? Or do you think that it's just, you know, people are kind of getting over these superhero movies?
Yeah, I don't think it has anything to do with superhero movies. I think it's just the property in general and how it was executed. I think if everyone enjoyed Batman v Superman like they did Wonder Woman, then I think these numbers would be completely different. And if everyone enjoyed... Same with Suicide Squad. Wonder Woman was their first big, like, one that we all kind of got behind. We were pretty divided on Man of Steel. We pretty much all hated Batman v Superman. We hated Suicide Squad. We all enjoyed Wonder Woman. But if they were all as good as Wonder Woman, then I think these numbers would be totally different. It's just everyone's just kind of over this universe and they're ready for it to be either rebooted or just kind of shot down.
Shoot it down!
Yeah. I mean, honestly, Marvel has just been having... Even a bad Marvel movie isn't even a bad Marvel movie. I mean, I think Thor... The first Thor and Iron Man 2 tend to be sort of the weak links in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and I'll watch any of those, like, right now. I own them, I love them, and even though they're the worst, they're still watchable. I can tell you right now, it'll be a long time before I ever watch Suicide Squad again or Batman v Superman. It's going to be one of those, oh shit, I haven't seen this movie in 20 years kind of moments. And be like,
it can't be as bad as I remember.
Yep, it still sucks. But, I mean, you know, it's like one of those things where, you know, you made that argument about pizza, right? Like, even bad pizza is still pizza, so you still kind of get behind it. But in this case, those movies are just dog shit, and I don't ever want to watch them again.
Yeah, and you brought up Thor, and take it to the next extension, Thor 2. You know, Malekith is probably the worst villain in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but even him, you can understand why he's doing what he's doing. You know, he was the leader of the Dark Elves, and the Dark Elves got kind of fucked in a...
They were spurned.
And he wants to bring them back. He wants to save his people and bring them back to life and to prosperity. You know, that's a character.
Right.
You know, Steppenwolf is not really a character. You know, you don't know why he's doing what he's doing.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating. Because it's not something that's difficult to explain. You know, it's a little bit of dialogue. You know, clearly they had no trouble with exposition. All Cyborg was an expedition dump half the time. Mm-hmm. And so they could have just, or expanded on that awesome flashback scene that you were talking about with the Amazonians, the Atlanteans, the humans, the superheroes, the Greek gods, everyone fighting together and kicking the shit out of him. You know, show us more of that.
Yeah. Someone needed to enlighten us. And even Wonder Woman barely even knew of what his story was.
Yeah. It's like, he's kind of a dick.
Yeah. Okay. Got it.
I do like that he uses an axe. I'm a big fan of people who engage in melee fisticuffs who don't use swords.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with a sword. It's just, it's always cooler when the guy fighting the guy with a sword has an axe or like a warhammer or something like that.
And my axe. You know, it's funny you say that because He-Man always used a sword. Always. But the box art on the like the 1980s cards and there was always like sort of like this pull-out poster kind of thing, always had him with an axe, like a two-sided axe. I never understood that, but it always looked cool as fuck.
You should have the axe, because axes are cool.
Yeah.
They're not overdone and tripe.
Yeah. What's that one what's that one Viking movie where swords are like a new thing? Pathfinder? Is that a movie?
Oh my god, Pathfinder.
Like, what's this thing? It's not a stick. This is hard to fight. Good stuff.
I'll get it. Native Americans, they know what hit them.
Yeah.
Well, let's segue into something a little happier. We got a Deadpool 2 semi-trailer, semi-just Ryan Reynolds having fun as Bob Ross.
Yeah.
Ryan, did you check this out?
I did, and I thought it was a joy and a genuine delight.
a real hoot.
Yeah.
Hoot and a half, I dare say.
And honestly, would anybody have seen a Bob Ross parody coming? I don't think so.
No, he was definitely playing into that. He's going to whack it off. meet your paint, kids. Trust me, I tried. Yeah, I thought it was a fun way to, you know, the marketing campaign for the first Deadpool is really what made the film what it was, you know, got people into the seats to see it. And it looks like they're just continuing with this film. I would have liked to have seen a little more Cable, but I'm sure that'll come in the first trailer once we get that. Speaking of trailers, did you guys see that they're going to attach the Infinity War trailer to The Last Jedi?
No.
Yeah, they officially announced it today, so the Infinity War trailer will debut before The Last Jedi.
Right.
And they made it sound like it would be attached to the print, which means it'll be at every single showing, but I can't 100% confirm that.
I'll take it. And that comes out in May, Infinity War?
Yes.
Sweet.
Sounds right. Infinity War Part 1.
Part 1.
Actually, it's not called Part 1 anymore. It's just called Infinity War.
So, but it doesn't end on a happy note?
We're led to believe that Thanos will be around for two films, which means that this will be the film that makes us be like, oh shit, he is scary.
Are they shooting them back to back so we don't have to wait like 3 years for another movie, or is it?
They are not filming the back to back now. There will be a delay.
Oh.
I don't think it will be as lengthy a delay as like between 2 and 3, but I think it will be. I think between 2 and 3, 2 came out in 2015. This will come out in 2018, so 3 years, and then I believe maybe a year and a half between the first one. I think maybe it's November 2019.
Oh. Interesting.
It's fucking interesting, man.
Yeah.
Like, Star Wars is interesting. Right, Randy? There's a lot of Star Wars shit going on, right?
There is indeed.
See, like, what? Tell me about the Star Wars shit.
Sorry, I had to unmute my mic. So, did you guys hear, now I know it's been a long time since we've talked as a group here, but did you guys hear there's going to be a whole new Star Wars trilogy?
What?
Yeah, sounds good.
So apparently Kathleen Kennedy and Lucasfilm and Disney are so happy with Rian Johnson's performance on the upcoming Last Jedi. He has been handed the keys to the car, so to speak, to take it out for a spin for an entirely new Star Wars trilogy outside of the Skywalker saga. So it's going to be exploring some period in time. I don't know whether it's going to be before the time that we're familiar with or maybe hundreds of years later, but it is going to be well outside of the Skywalker timeline. And we're going to get to see some new stuff in the Star Wars universe. So I think that's freaking fantastic. That's kind of the directions I was hoping they would go with some of the standalone movies, but knowing that they have an idea for an entire trilogy, that's cool. That ensures that we're going to get Star Wars movies for years to come. Not that I ever really had any doubt, but I think they definitely picked the right guy for the job, and I haven't even seen his freaking movie yet.
Yeah, it's a huge huge leap of faith for Disney. You know, they're already saying this is their guy. You know, the public has not seen this movie, and you know, as far as we know, Disney interfered very little because they've been very vocal when they had to replace or put directors in their places. And you know, their Rian Johnson is the sole writing credit on Last Jedi. You know, he's the director. He's the only one who shot any second of footage for this film was Rian Johnson. He was never replaced or, you know, told to, you know, smile and nod for the cameras. And for, they obviously saw something in the film that they said, hey, this is the guy to usher in our next era. And it's amazing that they were able to keep this under wraps during the whole Episode 9 debacle when everyone was trying to ask him if he's going to direct Episode 9, when I'm sure they'd already signed this deal, and he was like, I'm going to be doing something else. You'll hear about it. So good on them for keeping their mouth closed.
Yeah, really.
What about you, Justin? When is there a time frame you want to see this new trilogy in?
Oh man, I would lose my shit if it was in the Old Republic days.
Oh yes,
that's what I want. I want to see a billion. I want every asshole in the movie to have a lightsaber, and it to be exciting. I mean, I'm not gonna lie. Like, some of my favorite moments from the prequels, when there's a million Jedi on screen and they're all just going to town and using powers, and it's just fun. Even Episode 2, the worst one. When they're in like the Colosseum and all the lightsabers sort of turn on, I a little bit of pee came out on that scene. I was pretty excited about that. So
this party's over.
Yeah, I would love for this amazing era, thousands of years ago, where there are a ton of ships, a ton of Sith, not just two, and everything is going well for the Republic, and then just war, all-out war between the Sith and the Republic. I think that would be incredible. And not all Sith have power. Some of them are just fucking assholes flying ships.
Yeah, I'd love to see a Sith Empire, like, in its prime, like, you know, Naga Sadow and, you know, like, Revan and those kind of just badasses. I would love for them to canonize Revan in a film. And he's got a great, you know, redemption arc and everything like that. But yeah, Old Republic is definitely it's kind of safe because, you know, everyone has such fond memories of the games. A lot of people are still playing, you know, the Old Republic, the video game, to where
which is now compatible on Xbox One.
Oh shit! To where, and I think a lot of people, it would be a safe way to go outside the Skywalker franchise while still being something new. And so, Randy, what do you think? Are you you down for Old Republic, or would you like something else?
I'd be all over Old Republic. That's what I've been saying we should be getting for years now. Even when there was talk of the possibility of a live-action TV show, which they're kicking around that idea out loud again now too. So whether we get a new series of movies or whether we go the live-action route, I definitely think that is a field ripe for planting the new seeds, the new seeds of Star Wars.
Yeah, UK. Ooh. So you guys were at, this was at a Celebration 3, right? When they announced the sort of 100 episode TV show.
Uh-huh.
And
that was, they're already written.
That was in 2005. Mm-hmm. And now that's all, I'm sure, gone the way of the dodo, and everything was shredded and destroyed.
It's in a warehouse, a giant warehouse somewhere like the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark,
guarded by top men.
I picture that scene in the '89 Batman where they're rummaging around the office with flashlights and sweet hats and coats, and just trying to find all the secret scripts.
Jim Napier finds it. Yeah. But yeah, it was going to be 100 episodes, and supposedly they're written. So, you know, Disney owns those. You know, they can go through them. My only beef with that was that the scripts took place between Episode 3 and 4, and I'm tired of it. I want to see something outside of that.
We're done. Yeah, absolutely. No more of that. We have billions and trillions of years to play with, and it needs to escape that era.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing something set in between 6 and 7, but I don't know how... I mean, the Skywalkers and Solos leave such a big mark on the universe. How you could... If you could have a big epic story that does not involve them
right.
in some way.
Yeah, time has sort of ruined that for us.
Yeah, I'd like to see a standalone take place in between 6 and 7 just to kind of like help us map out, you know, what happened in those intervening years. And I know they'll explore it in comics and movies and stuff like that, or comics and books. But it'd be nice to see something on screen.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned canonizing, is that a word? Canonizing?
Probably.
Revan. And it would be really cool to see sort of him or her as the villain for the first movie, and then sort of finding their way in the second movie, and then saving the day in the third movie.
Yeah. Or maybe he's not even in the second movie. Like, the first movie ends with like, you taking him down, and Malak, or whatever Jedi you, Sith you create to be his apprentice, like, leaves, or maybe he betrays Revan. You think Revan's dead. He's not in the second one at all. And then, like, the third one, like, you know, they're like, oh, we don't have any hope. And they're, or at the very end of the second one, there's no hope. And they're like, there's always hope. And then they open the door and there's like a Revan on like a respirator or something.
You know, you mentioned Darth Malak. He is one of the most terrifying Sith Lords I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, he's pretty intimidating. Doesn't even have a lower jaw.
I know. He's got a sick ass, like, red duct tape suit. That's really cool looking. But he's just neat. I love everything about that dude. And I'd love to see his jaw get cut off.
Yeah. Cut it.
Nasty cheese grating accident.
So Randy, you said you're going to be spoiler-free till episode 8 comes out. So, is that your plan?
Yeah, right.
So, even though I was rolling hard looking at all the spoiler websites and any little leak or... conspiracy theory, I was up on it up to just a couple weeks ago. I decided I have stopped watching any and all new material since the last trailer. I think the last TV spot I saw had old Luke walking into the cockpit of the Falcon. But I'm not going to watch any of the TV spots from here on forward. I'm not going to any new material that gets released unless I scroll past it on my feed. I'm not going to click on it. I'm not going to look at it. I am refraining. I'm trying to use a little bit of willpower here to save myself for when the movie's released.
It's going to be hard. It's already screening it for foreign audiences, for foreign critics. Spoilers are going to be coming.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to do my best because I think this movie is exceedingly important. Not only to characters that we know and love, but just to the future of the Star Wars franchise itself. Because, as we were just discussing, they're really putting a lot of faith and trust into Rian Johnson. So it says a lot about this movie. I just want to experience it the way it's meant to be for the first time. And I see that now.
Good luck.
Yeah, more power to you. I think that's a great stance. I mean, because how much better was your Blade Runner experience because you knew nothing about the film?
Oh, it was fantastic. I went into it with a big old bucket of popcorn and a giant-ass drink, and I was a kid watching Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade in the movie theater for the first time all over again. Although it was a lot longer, more boring, but it was still pretty damn good, and it awoke that movie-going, movie-loving child within me. So, I'm hoping that Star Wars does the same.
There's less holographic sex in Last Crusade.
Yeah, and I imagine there's going to be a lot less holographic titties in Last Jedi, too.
Oh, I think so.
I need those.
I called in. I got to double the order. I guess 2 doubling 0 still 0.
I said no camels. That's 5 camels. Can't you count?
It's compensation for my brother's car.
What a great film.
I love that movie.
You know what's probably going to be even better than that film? A little movie called Rampage starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson based on that popular 80s video game with the robust narrative that warranted a feature-length film?
I would probably...
Oh, sorry, Jeff. Sorry, Randy. Right, Randy?
Sure. I was just going to say, I would probably rather watch gameplay footage for like 90 minutes of somebody sitting in an arcade playing this game than watching this movie.
Yeah. Justin, who's this movie for? This trailer is not good.
It's for me. I'm ready for it.
The Rock trains gorillas?
He's his friend. Yeah, George. It's all you need. I just don't want them to die. I want them to get anti-large gas put on them so they shrink, and then they can go back out into the wild. I get sad when the big monster gets killed.
Well, my prediction is that the wolf and the ape end up being good guys, and the crocodile is the bad guy, and the ape and the wolf have to kill the crocodile. I mean, I don't have any of the basis on. In the video game, they're actually people, because when they die, they shrink back into like a naked person. Mm-hmm. But this one, they're going full animals.
Full animals. Never go full worm.
You never. Just not something you do.
I think it'll be fun. But I think every movie's fun.
I mean, we'll have to see more. This is just a teaser. Maybe we'll get more. I mean, like movies like Jumanji. Like I'm amped for Jumanji. That looks like a shitload of fun.
You know
my kids
what?
Can't wait.
I'm gonna share something. I have never seen the original Jumanji with Robin Williams.
Oh really?
Yeah.
I don't know if it holds up, but it was really good. In an era when David Alan Greer was important enough to warrant a large role.
They call him Dag now.
Nobody calls him Dag.
they do.
He had a show called Dag.
He's the Dag.
Yeah, just like Diddy.
Oh yeah. Now he's called Love.
Yeah. You should see the old Jumanji. It's a fun movie. It's got Kirsten Dunst in it. I know you love her.
Oh yeah. I just watched Hidden Figures. And
oh yeah.
I loved it. Loved every second of it.
Right.
So good. And it breaks my heart that I knew nothing of these women growing up. Like, I never learned about them in school. Didn't even learn about them in college. It wasn't until, like, 3 years ago that this was something that I learned about. And it makes me really, really, really sad. But I enjoyed the shit out of that movie.
Yeah, it's a great movie. Kirsten Dunst kind of is not terrible at the end.
Yeah, in the last 10 seconds of the movie, she's like, "Oh yeah, how's it going? Congratulations on being like the boss of the computer."
Yeah, you're the supervisor. I'm doing the job of supervisor. I'm not going to supervisor pay.
Yeah, it's so good. God damn it, I love that movie. I just sat in my bed, just loving every second of it. Hidden Figures, check it out. It's on. What did I see it on?
Was
it
on? It's on HBO Go.
HBO Go. That's what I saw it on. HBO.
Yeah, whoever made it definitely had a hard-on for John Glenn.
Yeah.
They definitely made him out to be not a hero, but...
Yeah, he's kind of the dreamboat that gives them a chance.
Yeah. Like when he goes over there, he's like, what do you do? Calculate your launch and latitude locations? And he's like, oh.
Need those.
I need those.
Yeah, it was good. What was the question? Oh, yeah, Jumanji.
Jumanji, you should see it. It's good.
Yeah. I'll do that. Kirsten Dunst reminded me of Hidden Figures.
Hidden Figures, yeah.
Yeah.
But you had a list, didn't you, Justin?
I did. Yes. Thank you for reminding me. Mr. Rod Faulkner of the Seventh Matrix, he had tweeted a couple of days ago. I think this was on 11:15 at 1:40 p.m., now that I have it in front of me, saying, in my opinion, # science fiction films that should never get remade. And he has this quick little list that I wanted to go over. I'll just kind of do like rapid fire, and then we can discuss any that are on our minds that we wouldn't want to see be remade. So, these movies should never get remade. He has Galaxy Quest, 2001 A Space Odyssey. What's next year? Gattaca, which I can take or leave. I don't really need Gattaca in my life, but he enjoys it. Alien and Aliens with a Z. Dark City, which is a fantastic movie. If you haven't seen it, check it out. I love Dark City. Event Horizon still scares the shit out of me to this day. Attack the Block and The Matrix. And then he adds, what sci-fi films would be on your list? For me, it's just Starship Troopers. Everything else can be remade. I don't give a shit.
I can't even talk about Event Horizon. The good. Second I talk about it, I start seeing Sam Neill with like his face cut in like the grid, Lawrence Fishburne in like the like air ducts or whatever, and like it just like I'm like looking around my garage now, just like utterly freaked out.
I love that movie. I saw it in theater, it scared the shit out of me. I saw it with my buddy Luciano.
That movie is just terrifying. Alien is kind of hard because I mean Alien, the first Alien is basically like a monster movie. You know, it's a story that's been told like so many different times, to where you know there's this creature and they're trying to hunt the creature, but the creature's also hunting them. So I wouldn't be distraught if they remade Alien. That'd be fine. Most of the other ones on the list I agree with. The only one I may strongly suggest a remake would be 2001: A Space Odyssey, and I understand it's sacrilege to hate 2001: A Space Odyssey because Stanley Kubrick is the film god and this and that, but I fucking hate Stanley Kubrick's 2001: A Space Odyssey.
What if Zack Snyder remade 2001: A Space Odyssey?
I watch 2001: A Space Odyssey like once every 5 years just to see if now I'm old enough to appreciate it. Like, or now I'm like, I've seen enough movies to appreciate it, and I don't. It's boring. It's overwrought with just bland symbolism that, you know, may have been insightful in 1969. But, I mean, right now it's just, I would love to see a modern take on it, whether that's recreating 2001 A Space Odyssey or whether that's someone making a decent adaptation of 3001 A Space Odyssey or 2069.
Right.
'Cause there are four of them, you know.
Yeah.
It's 2001, 2010, 2069, and 3001. Mm. It'd be your Randy. Which one of those on your list, that list, would you want to see remade? Got to pick one. It can't be Gattaca. I don't want to live in a world where there's two Gattacas.
Yeah, it's bad enough living in a world where there's one.
Oh. Faulkner is just screaming at us right now.
Yeah, you're the worst.
I wouldn't mind seeing Alien remade. Not necessarily Aliens, because I like that movie a lot. But the first one, I know it's a classic, but I never really particularly liked that one as much as I did the sequel.
It's a little boring.
So, yeah, you know, seeing kind of a modern take on it, you know, you don't want to do the standard monster in the house, a lot of jump scares kind of thing, horror movie aspect to it. I think there's probably a more creative way of approaching it. But, yeah, I like to see it done with some modern sensibilities and modern pacing.
That's interesting that you bring that up because Alex had never seen Alien before, and we were watching it, and I forgot just how many scenes there are of them just sort of wandering through corridors with steam just sort of spraying everywhere. And if you cut all that out, it would be a much shorter movie. Like, it is literally just her wandering, like, Ripley or some crew member just sort of wandering about the ship, and nothing happens for a very long time. That's a shame.
Yeah. I feel like they could have just, like, cordoned themselves off in, like, the bridge or something like that and avoided most of what came their way.
Maybe, but...
It would be a boring movie, I get that.
Yeah. What was that?
I don't know.
That was Sam Neill in the background.
That was Sam Neill coming to get you, Dave.
Don't say that shit, man. Terrifying.
That movie's pretty good. I like Dark City, too. I think that movie's great.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, I like most of the movies on the list. Obviously, The Matrix is incredible.
Galaxy Quest is fantastic.
Yeah, Galaxy Quest, I mean, it's a comedy, so it's kind of hard to...
Timeless.
Yeah, since it's kind of a spoof on, you know, Star Trek. Speaking of which, have you done another Everything Geek with them? Have they talked more about Star Trek Discovery?
No, we haven't had another one since that.
You know, I work from home now. I'm happy to come on there anytime. and bits about Star Trek Discovery.
No, absolutely. In fact, you could probably take my place next week. I think they want to record one on Wednesday, and I will not be able to make it.
Oh, yeah? Because you work or are you going somewhere?
Yeah, no, I work. I fucking work every day from now until, like, the end of Christmas. Yeah. Stupid Jesus for being born in December.
Well, if you're not there, who's gonna have my back when I say something stupid?
Not me, man.
Tony Filato was singing the praises of Justice League.
Oh yeah, he's all over it.
I was like, damn it, I'm gonna be the asshole.
But yeah, they definitely like Discovery. They're big fans of Star Trek Discovery.
Maybe I'll binge the rest of it. I saw the first four episodes.
Oh, that's pretty good.
I think they're on. They have to be on like 8 or 9 by now.
Should be done, right?
It was going to be 10 episodes. I don't think it's done yet. I mean, it could be.
I thought it was 8.
If it's done, it just ended.
All right. Well, cool.
Yeah.
Is that it?
I
don't know.
Nah, jinx.
There was there was a list on IGN of ranking the movie Batmans. So any actor that has played Batman in both live action and animated. And our lists are kind of close to this, I think. I just want to run down those. It's only 8, so it's pretty quick. Sure. Number 8, George Clooney from it's the best Batman movie ever made, but he's the worst Batman.
Let's just do a quick poll here. Would any of us not put him at the bottom of this list?
I don't think so.
Randy, would you put him as your least favorite Batman?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
So without a doubt.
I actually have a list on geeklegacy.com, and that he was my last pick.
Yeah, your last two are in the same order. So next is Val Kilmer from Batman Forever. And so I remember Schumacher actually couldn't stand Val Kilmer. He's like, get this fucker off my movie. And he was pretty pumped when they got the green light to make another one immediately after, and he knew that Val Kilmer was doing The Saint, so he wasn't available. So he's like, fuck yeah.
You know, Saint's actually not a bad movie.
Tries to
with Elizabeth Shue?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cold Fusion.
Yeah.
Sorry. Didn't mean to interrupt.
No, it's fine. I took an online class on Cold Fusion. Really, it was just watching The Saint on Netflix. It was great. It was good. You know what's funny is when I went to go see I don't remember what it was called anymore. The Devil's Own? Is that a movie?
It was with Brad Pitt and Harrison Ford.
Yes. So I went to go see that, but I got a trailer for The Saint. And I, for some reason, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm watching The Saint. But I wasn't. I was watching The Devil's Own. Two very different movies with different people. But when it was on, I was like, I thought I was watching The Saint.
That happened to me once in a movie theater when I saw Grumpy Old Men in the movie theater. They had a trailer for Grumpy Old Men before Grumpy Old Men. I remember the trailer came on. I'm like, wait, aren't we seeing this movie? It was just a really weird coincidence that they showed the trailer for the movie we were seeing in the movie theater.
That's funny. Number 6, coming in hot with Will Arnett as Lego Batman.
I'll give you a hand that.
Yeah, he was fun. Got the voice down, that's for sure. He's always kind of had a Batman voice.
And oh, yeah. And he's great in this movie. It's like, first try. I still say shit like that.
Yeah, I just watched the Lego Batman movie over the weekend.
Oh, yeah? Did you hate it like Corey did?
I didn't hate it. I laughed a couple times.
Yeah, I really liked it.
Yeah, that's fun. Number 5, Ben Affleck. Get behind that. I like him. I think he's pretty good. Number 4, Michael Keaton. Number 3, Adam West. Oh, I still miss that guy. Not that we were best friends, but he's kind of my Batman. Number 2, Christian Bale. And number 1, the man, the myth, the legend, Kevin Conroy, who voiced Batman in the animated series, along with the Arkham video games. And pretty much any time you've ever seen an animated version of Batman, you can associate his voice with it. He is the knight. He is Batman.
That's fine.
Yeah, it's a good list. It's respectable. I could definitely. I think Randy agrees that this list is pretty much on par with ours. Only I would probably flip. I would bump Christian Bale up a couple slots, and I would move Michael Keaton to number 2 and Adam West. I'd probably have Adam West as 2, Michael Keaton as 3, and then Affleck as 4, and then fucking Christian Bale as 5. That's probably the way I'd do it.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a bold choice. Yeah, when it comes to like Arnett and Conroy, I just feel that while they're both great and they have the great voices and stuff like that, I feel that it's missing a component to the performance that would make me put someone like Michael Keaton or Ben Affleck or Christian Bale ahead of them. Those would be my 1, 2, and 3. I would go Keaton, Affleck, Bale. I think Michael Keaton is just, it came out at the right time. You know, I was 10 when the first, I was 11 when the first Batman movie came out. That's prime Batman age.
Sure.
And it was the biggest thing in the world at the time. You know, it was everywhere. T-shirts, McDonald's cups, everything was Batman themed. And it was this new take on Batman. And it was something that really gravitated towards me. And so that's why that's my Batman. And then Christian Bale was in, obviously, 2 of the best superhero movies of all time. And, you know, I think he gets a lot of credit for being in Christopher Nolan's masterpieces. And then obviously Ben Affleck is just a beast. That's my 1, 2, 3. What's your 1, 2, 3, Randy?
Oh, let's see. For me, my number 1 is going to be Michael Keaton, just because I do love me some Michael Keaton Batman. Oh boy, I didn't expect you to come to me. No, that's fine.
Well, it's hard too because you've never seen a Ben Affleck as Batman.
Not true. I saw his very short stint in Suicide Squad.
Oh, that's true.
Of all the movies, that's the one that you've seen.
I know, but I'm gonna have to leave him off of my list. So, I believe he probably might deserve a spot in the top 3, maybe, but I can't say one way or the other. So I will go with the other Batman that I grew up with, Kevin Conroy, and then round it out with Adam West. So the 3 Batmen that I grew up with in my formative years.
Nice. Nothing wrong with that. And they're all great. I mean, except Clooney and, you know, Kilmer.
Honestly, I don't mind Val Kilmer that much.
No, neither.
I think the problem is he was given the most puns. Yeah. I know that Clooney got a lot of puns too, but Kilmer had a lot of like the serious puns, like, you know, I'll just charge it and shit like that. I think I put a lot of emphasis on like his performance probably isn't terrible, but the script he was given to perform in is the worst. Like, you can make an argument that Batman Forever is worse than Batman and Robin.
I would make that argument. I don't know anybody else that would do that.
It's boiling acid!
It is Forever boiling acid. Is terrible. Forever, it's got a lot of color, a lot of lights. It's a different Gotham, that's for sure. It's Fashion Week in Gotham.
Apparently.
Yes, it is.
It's pretty bad. Two-Face is god awful. I'll take Freeze over Two-Face any day.
Yeah, I don't know about that. They're both pretty terrible. I would say Two-Face is better than the Riddler.
Yeah, but I maybe
Edward
because I was,
Enigma.
Maybe because I was 15 and on a Jim Carrey kick at the time, I think that he has sort of solidified a place in my heart. It's been pretty amazing. Now he's a real creeper, and you're like, Jim Carrey's not a good man.
What do you mean?
There's like that whole story now where he gave his ex-girlfriend like some pills, and then she...
Another one killed herself?
Yeah, and killed herself, and gave her like STDs, and telling her it's going to be okay to take these pills. I don't know.
It's going to be all right, let's see.
Yeah, so that's not good. It's too bad.
And I would say that Chase Meridian is my least favorite Bat Babe.
Oh, I forgot all about her. Tell me, Doctor. You ever been to the circus?
Oh, and I like just how... And it's when Cal Kilmer, like, deciphers the riddles that just bug me.
Yeah, him and Alfred. That's pretty great.
A match.
Small in size and light in weight. Oh, that's good stuff.
Oh, man, that fucking movie. That movie.
Of course, right, of course, M is 13 and blah, blah, blah. That was great.
Anything else, boys?
Nope.
I don't think so. Other than have a happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, go eat the shit out of some turkeys. They're overpopulating this world. We need to help fix the population so spay and neuter your turkeys and eat the shit out.
We need more turkeys. They're smart. They're clever birds.
I know they're
the velociraptors of the bird kingdom, Dave.
I know the answer to this question before I ask it, but did either of you see Daddy's Home 2?
No.
No.
Actually, not terrible. It's actually fun to see Mel Gibson be a character to actually laugh with at. But at one scene, Mel Gibson plays this like super macho guy, and he wants to get his kind of nerdy grandson a gun. And so he tries to convince the nerdy grandson that, you know, you want a gun to go hunting with. But the other dad in the scenario, grandfather in the scenario, is John Lithgow. And he's like, do you really want to take the life of a turkey knowing that he'll never live and breathe and play and have fun again? And so the little kid gets kind of like teary-eyed and says, no, I don't want to do that, Grandpa. But then his sister's like, I want to do that. And so they take this little girl hunting, and she's got this like rifle. And then the turkey like charges at her and scares her, and she falls on her ass and like shoots, like wings Mel Gibson. And then she just, all of a sudden you see a close up on her, and she's all pissed off, and she just takes out two turkeys. And it was done to comic effect. And it's actually an enjoyable movie. When it's on Netflix or HBO, it's worth watching. But sorry for the segue, but thanks for joining us for another episode of the Geek Galaxy Podcast. Make sure to go to geekgalaxy.com for all of your geek news and reviews. And whilst there, listen to the other podcasts in the Geek Galaxy Network, the Pixelated Podcast with Justin and Steven, and they talk video games like Battlefront 2 and its pay-to-win model and all other kind of stuff. And make sure to follow us on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and everything else in the world at Geek Legacy. And until next time, I will see you another time.